National Affairs Committee. Thank you for coming today. To my left is co-chair Representative Bob Herron of House District 38, representing Bethel in that region. And also committee members, Representative Berta Gardner, excuse me, and Representative Charisse Millett, District 30. Representative Gardner, District
24.
24. Thank you very much. And today's date is January 22nd. We are beginning on time at 8 a.m. And we are joined by Representative Wes Keller of District 14. I'd also like the record to note that Representative John Harris is excused. He has business outside of the Capitol today. Also, would like to introduce our committee aides, Terry Harvey and Rob Earle. Is Rob? Rob, thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I believe Representative Cisna is ill. She went home sick yesterday.
Okay, great. And please note for the record that Representative Cisna also is excused. Tyson Fick is here as well. He is the liaison for the department to the legislature. And Committee Secretary Chris Jones is here today. And Chris Fannin from the LIO. And we have also online Mark Davis, Joe Osterman, and Scott Ruby from the department in other cities around the state.
Questions?
Okay, and also online is Lori Hovenick. Okay, great. All right, today we wanted to have an overview from the department and from the commissioner. Commissioner Noddy is here today. Commissioner Noddy, please come forward. Commissioner Noddy was first appointed in 2006. He is an engineer by training with double degrees in aeronautical and electrical engineering. He has an extensive history in Alaskan politics and community service, serving as the first president of the Alaska Federation of Natives during the formative years, and was a major player in the establishment of the state's native corporations. Also a past president of Doyon Limited and a 30-year board member with the National Bank of Alaska. Thank you very much for being here today, and I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm glad to be here today to give an overview of the department. We have most of the division directors are here with us today if you need detailed answers. Scott Ruby and Mark Davis are both here. Only Joe Osterman is online and Lori Hovenick. We have a very diverse department. We touch the lives of many Alaskans in a great number of issues, and I'll outline the department and some of the things that we do, and we'll be glad to answer questions, and feel free to stop me at any time if you have a question about anything that I mentioned. Our mission in the department is to promote a healthy economy with strong communities. We do that through on the commerce side. We regulate industry and monitor industry. We try to create a stable business atmosphere. On the community side, we assist local governments with self-governance, training, sustainability, and a host of other activities that we'll get into. And economic development, we coordinate, promote, and develop economic growth and help new expanding businesses. In another facet of the department is we have a number of independent agencies report through us. And their budgets flow through the department, and the financial reports flow back to the legislature through this department. So I have to say that we have a very talented group of division directors that carry on the business of this department. They're hardworking and dedicated, and I'm very lucky to have these people supporting me in the mission of the department. I'll just go through the divisions that we have. The Commissioner's Office, the Administrative Services, Banking and Securities, Community and Regional Affairs, Insurance, Division of Investments, Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing, and Office of Economic Development, and a volunteer agency that takes federal money to serve Alaska. The six agencies that report through the department are Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, Alaska Aerospace Development Corporation, Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority, / Alaska Energy Authority, Alaska Railroad Corporation, Regulatory Commission of Alaska, and Serve Alaska, which I mentioned. We also have, I think it's 23 boards and commissions that we have a seat on or are involved with. So we do that with a fairly small staff, 539 people. I have two PCN numbers for commissioners, deputy commissioners. One deputy commissioner slot is filled. I do need the other one, but it's not funded right now. last year, when we had two, we made one the one that dealt with rural Alaskan communities.
Excuse me, Commissioner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you tell us what PCN number is? You say you have two PCN numbers?
I can get those. I don't have.
No, I just mean, what does PCN mean?
Well, position control number. Every job, every position has a control number, and you can't hire without providing a number.
Thank you. So that means that in the hierarchy or in the structure of the business, you anticipate each PCN position or need it, but if it's not funded, it's not, you don't have it.
No, we have the number, but we don't have it funded. The numbers exist, it's just not filled.
Thank you.
Okay, and for the committee, if we could hold the questions till the end, we also have Deputy Commissioner Black here, and we'd like to also allow him to make a presentation, and we'll save our questions for the end. Great.
Excellent.
Go ahead.
Thank you. We have offices in a number of communities: Anchorage, Bethel, Dillingham, Fairbanks, Juneau, Kotzebue, Nome, Seattle, and Tolk. And so I'll go through the divisions and some of the things that they do. And it always amazes me how many activities we're involved in the state. And from the commissioner's office, we get these things popping up every day, and it's an amazing array of things to deal with on a daily basis. We have a Division of Administrative Services, like all departments, and they provide the professional services that support what we do in the budget and capital budgets, the financial management, procurement, and property control. And a big part of what they do is information technology, which is a continuous, ongoing activity. It always seems like something needs upgrading or fixing, so they're a very active group. when we get the audit requests from the state legislative auditors, that division handles the works with OMB and auditors and federal auditors and special audits that we get requests for. Serve Alaska was established in 1994 by Governor Hickel to establish a state's eligibility to receive AmeriCorps funding. And without that office, we would not receive the volunteers. They do a great number of things here. They have development projects for young Alaskans. They include the life skills development, job readiness, or education. They also meet the needs of rural Alaska. Projects include health, environment, and youth development. and they do a great deal of volunteer work in meeting Alaska's social needs. They do work that includes prison reentry, domestic violence, drug and alcohol dependency. And the AmeriCorps members had served in last year 275,400 hours of volunteer activities. They had 373 people receive GED through their education element. Between March 1, '94 and March 1 of 2008, they've had 2,558 AmeriCorps members, serving 3,221,000 hours of service. And the AmeriCorps office is necessary to receive the federal funding. Banking and Securities has oversight of our banking institutions. We have 71 financial institutions that are subject to regulation by the division, including banks, credit unions, trust companies, small loan companies, payday lenders, and premium finance companies. Last year conducted examinations of more than half of the institutions. Each institution is required by state law to be examined every 18 months. We also do investigations. As a result of investigations into license activities, the division required refunds of approximately $10,000 in finance charges directly to Alaska borrowers. This past year, they approved four new licenses to conduct payday lending and four new licenses to conduct premium finance businesses in Alaska. That's a banking section. In the security sections, the Division of Banking and Securities, they enforce the Alaska Securities Act and associated regulations. The enforcement functions include handling complaints and investigations of registered entities and regulated offerings, as well as investigating unregistered activities or scams. The security section's primary mission is protecting Alaska residents from investment activities that may cause financial harm to citizens. Just some of the highlights. The security section fiscal year 2008 generated over $13 million in revenues with a budget of approximately $2 million. And like most of the department, the department is funded by fees and license fees and that we collect from the vendors or businesses. They can conduct over 50 security investigations. And if laws are broken, we turn them over to the Attorney General after investigation. And our job is to protect investors and native shareholders. One of the big investigations was several brokerage firms regarding the failure of auction rate securities. The division received complaints that represented over or almost $100 million in invested funds. The division also has oversight over Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act corporations. They're required to submit annual reports to the state, and we have them all on file. And it's a busy department, or division. They investigated 35 complaints of reports of wrongful information that's mailed out to shareholders. And we implemented two new laws that were passed became effective in July 1, 2008, the Alaska Mortgage Lending Regulation Act. They license and examine regulated mortgages and originators, mortgage loan administrators, originators, brokers, and lenders, and the Alaska Uniform Money Services Act. The next Division of Community and Regional Affairs, which deals with the rural Alaska and local government. They do a lot of training and rural utility training for utilities. It's a RUBA group. They provide training on how to manage water and sewer systems and keep the records, and hopefully we prevent breakdowns of those systems that cause a great deal of cost the state a great deal of money to fix and keep going. So it's a service that's needed out there. They made 182 trips to 172 communities last year for a total of 470 days of on-site assistance in the areas of utility management, financial management, personnel issues, election and ordinance, adopting ordinances for cities. So one of the big activities is a local boundary commission comes within the department. Local boundary commission has I call them civilians. They're not in the government service, but they are on the board. And they last year they incorporated a new borough in Wrangell and did an annexation in the Ketchikan borough. And they do it with a very small staff. They also handle the under land claims. The village corporations are required to give land to communities, and people who are on the land when land claims pass get land that they're on at no cost. So we do the mapping of that and clear the title, make sure they're clear before it's transferred. one of the big things we do is a lot of grants go through this department, and we have over 900 grants under supervision now in various stages of completion. And in those grants, we have close to $1 billion of state money for projects across the state. The next division is corporations, business, and professional licensing. And they implemented the Alaska Mortgage Licensing and Regulation Act Prescription Drug Monitoring Program that was just signed into law. We license 39 professional occupation programs, and each year the division regulates over 100,000 individuals, businesses, and corporations that offer services in the state. The Division of Insurance, they license the insurance companies that do business in the state. They have oversight of agents for compliance with Alaska statutes. we make sure that we enforce the statutes and regulations and conduct examinations of insurance companies and agencies. And the third compliance section is financial reports and audits, which enforce statutes and regulations on tax and surplus lines matters and collect premium tax revenue for the state. In 2007, they investigated fraudulent insurance cases. 54 were opened and reviewed in the investigation. Since 2006, there have been 8 criminal investigations. They do a lot of public outreach to citizens to inform them of their rights and prevent fraud from the insurance companies. We have a number of investigators at in the department. We have over 20 investigators that investigate fraud in banking and insurance. Division of Investments is very active in upgrading new diesel engines in the fishing fleet. The world is becoming very sensitive to carbon release into the atmosphere, and they've done, I think, 170 audits on the fishing fleets, and they determine how much carbon is dumped into the atmosphere during the fishing process. So they're forcing the industry to become more efficient and less polluting. And so it's the division makes low interest loans to fishermen to replace their old diesel engines with new, more efficient ones. They also, excuse me, they also last year brought on, put into effect the loans to pilots for upgrading their navigation equipment. And it's contributing to safety. In Southeast Alaska, it's reduced the accident rate by estimated, I think it's 47%. The small airplanes investments are about $15,000 to bring them up to date. Based on the state of Alaska's commitment to make low-interest loans available to owners of airplanes, the FAA committed to put in over $400 million of equipment to coordinate the activity of flights and keep track of planes that have the equipment in place. And it informed the pilot of the airplanes around them and should contribute a great deal of to safety in Alaska, which, of course, has been a great concern as a capstone program. and the records are still being compiled, but early numbers show that it's very good for safety, and so that's one of the big ones they do. We have the Office of Economic Development, and they publish reports on economic performance, net rate of return on industries, Alaska Mineral Industry Report, Alaska Logging History and Society of Foresters, and just recently they staffed up the Alaska Film Office, which will give rebates to companies who come to Alaska and make movies. And as you know, that passed last year. Has a five-year lifespan, and they're authorized to rebate $100 million to companies that make movies in Alaska on audited statements of expenses. And unfortunately, we don't have taxes, so in some of the stuff, but they would rebate those too. Office of Economic Development is also a development and rural tourism training. We also have the ARDRs, Alaska Regional Development Organizations. There are now 12, and they each receive $57,000 a year. And that money is matched by local communities, and they look for business opportunities in rural Alaska and provide training for new businesses. They monitor the Made in Alaska program and authorize the use of the Made in Alaska stamp on the products. and they offer Small Business Assistance Center. You know, that's what we do directly in the department. Now, the independent agencies or corporations that report through us are Alaska Aerospace Development Corporation, which its main functions are in Kodiak. And we bring in through them mostly federal money through contracts for launches and preparations and whatnot. They are asking for some money this year to build a second launch pad. Next corporation, Alaskan Development, Industrial Development and Export Authority. And they provide loans that are originated by banks, and banks put up 10%, ADA puts up 90%. The big projects that around the state that the ADA is involved in is a Red Dog mine, somewhere in the neighborhood of $300 million invested up there. A lot of it bonding, the dock at Skagway, the shipbuilding dock in Ketchikan, and there are a couple other. I don't see them right offhand, but we do promote development through taking a lot of risk that banks would not normally do. So it's encouraging development of resources like the Red Dog mine and, and others that is a goal of the state to develop. Alaska Energy Authority is, I think you all got copies of that plan. It's a very detailed plan with a lot of information in it. And it took a great deal of work. It took an organization, and within months had all of the people working hard. Many of them worked weekends for 3 months or so and late at night. But they had some very difficult deadlines to meet. And they slipped a week or two here and there, but the work is, I think, will be a historic document. It is the first compilation of all the data for in every village and community, what the resources around them are, and they're big factor in it is by looking through this, and if you learn to read the data that's in there, you can determine whether hydro is better than, you know, they can compare the different methods of generating electricity. So the RCA, Regulatory Commission of Alaska, reports through us. Alaska Railroad reports through us. A big concern on the Alaska Railroad right now is whether the Flint Hills refinery is going to shut down or not. It represents about 30% of the revenue for the railroad. Operations is always a close call on for profits. The real estate that the railroad owns is a big profit maker that supports some of the operations when they run short. Now, Alaska seafood industry, if you've seen their publications, they're very impressive publications, and they're distributed worldwide, and the statistics tell us that they've enhanced the price that Alaska salmon brings around the world in the markets. So that pretty much covers the department. You can see it's a very diverse department, and glad to answer questions. I'm sure I can answer a lot of questions, but we have all the division directors either here in person or online. So
wonderful.
If you want to call Mike, I'll
Thank you, Commissioner, and if you'll wait a few minutes so we can have questions. Before we proceed, though, I'd like to, the record to be noted that Representative Sharon Sisna has joined us, and she's been here for quite a while in the presentation. I just didn't get a chance to introduce you earlier, so thank you. Are there questions of the Commissioner? Representative Herring.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, thank you for coming this morning, and obviously the skill set that's in the room on your staff is very apparent. I recognize a lot of them, and hopefully questions from my colleagues, maybe someone will be able to showcase those skill sets. I guess I just have a couple questions, then I would yield to my other members, and then reserve some time for some follow-up questions. But you know, I guess let's just jump to some pretty obvious stuff that's been in the press lately. You know, there's I know you've been out to, you and other departments have been out to Amonic. Could you briefly just share some of those verbal reports that have been given to you, and then of course later I would expect we'd get written reports, but could you share just briefly some of those on the ground verbal reports to you?
Mike Black was on the phone yesterday with some of the people that were out there, but I can give you a little bit on where we stand on it. The laws and regulations in place right now don't allow this department to declare an economic emergency because the economic income, the level of economic income, has not been affected enough to drop it to the trigger point that we could declare an economic emergency. There are other things that can be done. And the group out there now represents the Division of Military Affairs, Labor, Department of Commerce, and Military Affairs. I think Education is the other one. We have a team. We spent 2 hours on the phone with the communities last Friday. Monday, we put together a team that flew out Tuesday morning to Bethel and Amonic, and today I think they're in Kotlik. The first written report we expect will be to us on Friday. And of course, we'll make those available, and we'll determine what needs to be done out there. It's the salmon fishery, the king salmon fishery, was a bust. So their income dropped, but it wasn't enough to affect their overall income level out there. And in my mind, it's not an income problem. It's a problem because the numbers show us that the income level has not changed. It's been the same over the years, but what happened when the price went to $144 a barrel, everything that goes out there is either flown in or brought in through some other means, but that jumped the price of fuel went up just because of the cost, and getting it there, the transportation costs went up. Food that flown in has gone up. Last Friday on the telephone, they listed a number of things what they were paying for food. I think they said $7 a gallon for milk. And the one that really jumped out at me was they said they bought two hot dogs for $12. And so, but these are just anecdotes on our part of what we hear. We'll get a report, a status report on the cost of fuel and cost of food. And of course, we'll share that with anyone interested.
Thank you, Commissioner. I guess a follow-up to that is that obviously your service to Alaska in many capacities for many years, you've seen the ups and downs of economic times that have affected both rural and urban. But I guess, would you agree that whether it's rural Alaska or urban Alaska, that this is really a canary in a coal mine, this incident of Bowdy Monic? I mean, there's places in all of our districts that are impacted by high energy costs, and those will be follow-up questions that I'd like to be able to ask you and your department, but do you agree that this is a canary in the coal mine?
The cost of energy affects everyone. Fairbanks is paying 28 cents a kilowatt hour without hydro. Here, last year, I think you paid 55 cents a kilowatt hour. Low-cost energy is necessary for economic development. If we're going to be competitive in a world market, we have to have low-cost energy. We need a number of other things. A trained workforce is necessary, which we don't have. We don't have a good ground transportation system. If you're on the water, you have a good transportation system. Otherwise, everything's by air. So for economic development, Alaska has a great need. But to answer your question directly, the cost of fuel is affects all of us in a harmful way. So.
Thank you. Madam Chair, just one more question, then I'll yield to the other members. Is you bring up energy, of course, and, you know, obviously that's the number one issue to the constituents in my district. It's the number one issue statewide. A lot of ambitious and hopeful attempts to alleviate it for all of us is coming forward, and we'll talk about during the session. But I guess, again, well, let's go to something that's pretty current. Could, again, briefly, what's your take on, you know, because it's within your department, Healy, Fairbanks, Homer, that situation that's, you know, real current today?
Well, Representative Herron, through the chair, I apologize for not being more formal last when I answered the first question. The Healy Clean Coal Project has been a problem for the state for a good many years. Probably 10 years, I think, is about what it is. And the state has a lot of money into it, but the biggest part of the money is federal money, and it's close to $300 million. ADA made it a goal to solve that problem, and been working on it very intensely for the past year. And there's an agreement in place, has not all been signed, and it still has to get released from the court, or there's a lawsuit that has to be dismissed when all the agreements are in place. And then it'll take, I'm not sure, maybe 6 months or so to get the plant up and running. that'll solve part of the problem. I think we still have an energy problem in the rail belt area. The generating capacity is old and needs to be replaced. So anywhere we can find new energy, I think especially natural gas would be a great deal of help. We're hoping that 4 miles west of Nenana that they're going to go down looking for natural gas. They're planning to go down 10,000 feet. If they find natural gas, they want to, I asked them yesterday, how much could they generate? And their plan is to generate 150 megawatts to feed Fairbanks and south to Anchorage. So there's still the study that's going on now about the number of the six generating companies that that feed a market that easily could be fed, generate, have one generating company to do all that. but that's a report that the legislature funded for $800,000, and that report will be released shortly. Ted Leonard is here from ADA, and so I don't have the exact details, but I know it's getting close to a final release of the report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just reserve for some more questions later.
Sure. Great. Are there other questions of the committee? Yes, Representative Sisson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, thank you very much for your presentation, and I like your annual report. It was a nice way to frame this. And
My questions are certainly in line with Representative Heron's questions, but mine always does tend to go into the direction of health, because it just is the way my brain works. And I know we've talked during the Legislative Health Caucus this last year. We did a forum with both you and with the your division, your department, and Health and Social Services. The effects of the energy costs to Alaska, of course, are profound, and those effects, they are under your, you cover a lot of those, but so does many other departments.
Sure.
That they all are impacted by how in the world do they deal with what's happening. What kind of effort do you do as a department to work as much as possible in maybe even a network pattern on those kinds of effects? And I'm thinking of the fact that the that in public health, they were telling of the many, many different potential health problems that were being predicted because of the costs and people getting together and for instance, sharing houses because of the heat costs. How does that ever work into what your department is doing? It does have an economic effect.
Yes.
It does. It does affect everything. It affects business. What is being done in that regard?
Well, Representative Sisna, through the chair, our primary effort in that area comes through our seat on the board of directors for ADA and AEA. Other than that, the department gathers information. We compare the cost of energy and fuel throughout Alaska. We encourage the groups, when they can get together, to buy fuel in bulk. And there's a good example of that. The CDQ group in Nome guarantees payment on the loan to the to the shipper and seller of fuel. As a result of that, because they're assured payment and they're buying in bulk, their fuel is, at least last year, was $1 a gallon less than those that don't. So there's a good pattern there, or a good model. So we encourage other groups to form cooperatives where they can buy in bulk. But the the pressure on the people who supply it, as I understand it, I'm listening to some of the things they said, they're required to make payment on the fuel they get when they deliver it, sometimes 15 or 20 days. So they don't have the capacity to fund long-term. They need payment right away. So that just points to the need for having good credit. Part of the reason for the high cost is that they have losses that they have to cover. And the reason, so if we could get guaranteed loans, it would help. There are two programs that the state has, one through AEA, ADA, is they provide low-cost loans to buy bulk fuel twice a year. But the villages or communities have to have a good credit rating to do it, and a history of good credit, paying their debt. If they can't pass the credit test, then they come to this department, where they can get a zero interest on a loan. And we take a big risk on that. But we have a good record on, because the communities know it's their last chance to get fuel. They have, they make a great deal of effort to make sure they pay those zero interest loans back, because without it, they would have no credit for fuel. So that's about the extent of what we do.
I could do one follow-up. And what I hear, Commissioner, when you say that is that you're working with those local communities. It's pretty, it sounds complicated to me. This is something that if I were to be in one of those communities, I don't think that's a job I'd pick. And we're talking in our regional centers more and more about the numbers of people coming in from rural Alaska. The people who come in, oftentimes, I've heard told, and I don't know that there's any studies, are people who are more competent, have more money, and sometimes the skill sets that would go with helping funding programs in their local government, and you know, filling out the forms, making sure that the loans get repaid, that kind of thing. Is anybody looking at that part of it? The health in the communities of the people that are capable of doing that job that are staying. Because if we don't watch that, we're going to wind up with some real serious problems later in the winter.
It's a serious problem. The crisis is not over for this year yet. We expect more. And for the health problems, Friday they had the director of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation online, and he was concerned about people not having proper diet, what that would do to their health. And so it's a real crisis that all the machinery of government right now is trying to get them through the winter. And in Kotlik, they had just about the time they should have been submitting loan applications, they changed city managers, and the new manager apparently didn't get the paperwork in time, so that was part of the problem, not getting people in. Other problems was the river was low, and then it froze up quick. So it just compounds it. But in some cases, they would have bought fuel at $144 a barrel at that rate, price. Some of the communities that missed it now are paying less because they didn't get stuck with a big chunk of money tied up in a fuel inventory. They can fly it in now cheaper than they would have bought. But it's still high enough to be causing a lot of trouble.
Thank you.
Thank you for your questions. Are there additional questions, Representative Gardner?
Thank you. I have a lot of questions, sure. So I'll try a few here and then let somebody else. Representative Herron asked about the situation in Ammonic. And last August, when we were debating the $1,200 rebate, rural legislators pointed out that we were heading toward a crisis. And part of that discussion was it better to give $1,200 to every Alaskan or to invest that money in avoiding crises across this state this winter? And I think you've partly already answered this question when you talked about the river was low and freeze up came quickly, and those who couldn't get their fuel in last summer maybe are seeing a benefit even today. But we knew then that prices were higher than anybody ever thought they would go, and that was going to have a huge impact across this state, particularly in rural Alaska. We knew then that fisheries were a bust in some communities. Is there anything else that happens, or do you see how we could have done things differently? Was there new information or information we didn't have at that time to impact what we did? And one thing I will say is part of what we did do that I think was right was putting money into a renewable energy fund and increasing that fund while we had the money. And that's forward-looking to avoid this same problem next year or the year after that. But is there something that changed between last August and today that we could have prevented this?
I'm not aware of anything that could have been done different. We're kicking around ideas. What we think, the state is spending a lot of money right now on low interest loans and zero interest loans. But still, there's a risk to the providers or sellers of fuel. I think when we get all the facts in and have a gathering of the minds of the people at our departments that each have some interest in what's going on, we will come forward with some different ideas about how to get fuel distributed. At least I hope that we come up with a report like that. That's where we're headed right now.
Okay, thank you. Madam Chair, if I may, it's kind of a good segue into my next question, which is, as we anticipate and hope to plan to shift to more use of renewables across the state, and you know, I personally hope we make great progress there, thinking about one of the benefits of renewable energy usage is that it creates jobs across the state and cash income in communities that currently don't have much. When you were talking about the RUBA program and teaching and training local people in how to run these new utilities, do you anticipate that that will be the template that will be expanded and you'll use that existing program to train people for the new projects? And do you see that any changes that you need, or is it a good template for what we might anticipate?
Well, I haven't really thought about what we might do in the future, but I think it's a good template. they're busy. They visited 172 communities, I think, said. But it's an ongoing problem because we see water systems freeze up and accounting that's not done. So we send people into the field to help. It requires a massive ongoing training that has to be provided. for right now, I don't know what else we can do with what we have.
Madam Chair, follow up.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a problem with determining or clarifying who has responsibility for running, maintaining, and training? I mean, does the state retain that responsibility throughout the life of a project, or is there some point at which the state can step out and the local community can competently follow through?
Representative Gardner, through the chair, the state, when the cities take ownership of it, it's their responsibility, is my understanding. But I don't think the state keeps ownership of those facilities. Our interest is to not have to go back and grant another project or grant new water pumps or new pipelines or sewer lines or whatever. So it's in our interest to spend the money on training. And hopefully they'll take them over. The bigger communities, Nome and Kotzebue and Bethel, do pretty good because they have enough people there and to do it. It's the small ones that have a problem.
Okay, so when you say hopefully they'll take them over, and we know hope's not a plan.
Right.
So if the template isn't really effective in that area right now, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but I think we as a state need to do something to kind of shift that.
Yeah, and I appreciate that to the chair. when Mike Black comes up here, he has 27 years with the department.
Okay.
And he's much more familiar with that particular issue. I'm sure
he'll
get some good answers.
Okay. Well, it is something that I personally will be looking for as we move forward on that effort.
Good. Are there additional questions? Mm-hmm. Representative Millett.
Thank you, through the chair. Commissioner Nadi, thank you for making yourself available and all your directors here. It's great to see all of you. I have a question. I met with Mr. Higginson, and he had some interesting ideas about hedging fuel buys for stabilizing fuel costs in rural Alaska. Has there been any movement towards that?
I know it's been talked about, Representative Millett, but I don't know of any plans to implement it. I think it comes back to credit. The credit system has to be in place and worked out. So I don't know how far along that would be or where it's at, but there is talk about that.
Great. Thank you.
Are there other questions? Representative Perrin.
I guess what I'll share with you, Commissioner, is there's several questions, and we probably won't have time to get into them, but what I'll do is I'll ask the two committee aides to, myself and the other co-chair will we'll put together a list, and then we'll forward them to you, and if you could respond to all the members of the committee on these. But one quick question before I yield back is the commissioner of DEC was in my office yesterday, and he said that the president's stimulus package is for that department is about $81 million. That's the number he has shared with me. Is there a number for any program coming out of the stimulus package from DC to your department? Do you know that number now?
Yeah, on the relief mm-hmm. package, we're just gathering information. I don't know any numbers on.
Is there a number? I mean, is there going to be money that would come to any of your responsibilities? Do you know?
Well, I saw a number where they were going to release, I think, $350 million for community development block grants. If that's the case, that would come through the department, and we administer that program. We used to. I think it's still done now. But other than that, no, I don't have any numbers.
Madam Chair, I yield.
Okay. Thank you. Additional question, Representative Gardner.
Thank you. Yes, I have two questions, and one is about the prescription drug monitoring program. And whenever we said prescription drug monitoring program, and that was fairly controversial, and people had concerns about privacy and protections. Can you give us a little more detail about how that's going? Have there been problems? Is it up and running?
Representative Gardner, Chair, if you don't mind, I'll defer that question. It's a new program, and I'm not familiar with it.
Thank you. Madam Chair, my other question is about Capstone.
Yes.
And as I understand it, the federal government basically used Alaska as kind of a pilot program and then stepped back and said the state needs to ante up in order for it to continue. Mm-hmm. And so we did do that and provided low-cost loans and I believe some infrastructure for the receiving segments. Is that now on track to cover Alaska? Is there anything else we need to do? Has the federal government changed or modified their plans, do you know?
Representative Gardner, through the chair, the FAA is committed to do it, and I don't think they have any plans to change that. The program is working. We didn't get the rush for requests for loans that we would like to have gotten.
I'm sorry, those?
We did not get the number of applications for loans that we would like to have gotten, but it is developing. Greg Winninger is here, and he has late numbers on it, but
okay, so
just not too long ago, they had a big package for some financing of
thank you.
Equipment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Keller, do you have questions?
No.
Okay. Are there additional questions?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Representative Gardner.
Thank you. When you talked about some of the loan programs under the corporations, and you mentioned specifically Red Dog, Skagway Dock, and the Ketchikan Shipyard, in light of the economic crisis, and I read just the headline this morning that some of that recession, whatever, may impact Alaska next year, that we're sort of lagging behind the rest of the country. Do we anticipate that there, or have we already seen slowdowns at the Ketchikan shipyards, for example, or dock traffic in Skagway? I mean, do we need to look at making adjustments to the loan programs? Do we anticipate defaults or
responsibility? Representative Gardner, through the chair, Ted Leonard could answer that better, but for what I see is that the ore dock in Skagway, the predictions are that it's going to, activity is going to pick up.
Okay.
And the dock in Ketchikan, I just saw they got a contract to do some building, so they're projecting more work there. So that's been picked
up. Good news.
So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Gardner. Are there additional questions? I just have one question on the PCE program, the power cost equalization. Here in Southeast, our communities are making a lot of progress toward hydropower with the interties and new connections and funding for those connections. I'm curious if your department has a position on power cost equalization being extended to businesses in the interim until a community can get tied into an alternative source of energy.
Well, we've not taken a position on it, but my personal view on it is it should happen, because the businesses to survive need the break, and if they don't get it, then the cost to the customer who buys from them, the cost goes up anyway, and it's an income problem for living out there.
So, excuse me, did you say the department does have an official position on PCE to businesses? No, not
arrived at any.
Okay, thank you. Representative Herron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just before we go to the Deputy Commissioner, I guess you've been on the job a couple of years now, right?
Yes.
Commissioner, briefly for the committee members, two-part question. What has surprised you being in this job? And probably more importantly, what has disappointed you? I mean, what's the disappointment that you've realized?
Well, Representative Herron, to the chair, the big surprise to me when I got there was the Department of Commerce did not have an economist on staff. So when we needed numbers, we had to go to everywhere in the state government to pick up bits and pieces. So we have an economist, and our plan is to have him compile the labor data and banking, you know, anything that has to do with business or in Alaska. So we have one source of information. So someone coming into Alaska and looking to find information on Alaska has to go to each website in the departments to find out what's going on. So our plan is to be one point for information that's necessary for business to consider Alaska. The second point on, I'm sorry, was
what I guess maybe not. I guess what has been a big disappointment, whether it's your department can't accomplish something, or what has been a disappointment to you in these first 2 years?
Well, the one disappointment right now is that I have one deputy commissioner, and he is overworked. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, I'm sure he's efficient, though.
he is very efficient in what he does, but 20 hours a day isn't quite enough to do it.
Well, there's 24 hours in a day, though.
Well, we're generous. We let him give him some time off.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Are there any additional questions? Okay, great. Well, thank you very much, Commissioner, for coming. It's very interesting, the work of the department, and we really appreciate your care and presentation today and getting us all of this, the information. And as Representative Herron said, if you will entertain questions from the committee, those questions can be brought to either Representative Herron or I, and then we will submit them to you and get the responses back to the committee members. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. Deputy Commissioner Michael Black, please come forward.
Thank you.
Deputy Commissioner Black is here today to tell us about his work with the department. Deputy Commissioner Black oversees rural and community issues and has led the way with the department's efforts in affordable fuel for rural communities, municipal revenue sharing, planning and coordination of assistance for flood and erosion, threatened communities, and rural land ownership issues in our local communities, smaller communities. In addition, you have a lot of extensive public service in community organizations, Commissioner Black, Deputy Commissioner Black serves on the Alaska Coastal Policy Management Cabinet, the Alaska Workforce Investment Board, the Disaster Policy Cabinet, the Alaska Aerospace Development Corporation, the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, and the State Emergency Response Commission. Thank you very much for being here today, and I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. My background is with this department for 28 years, so formerly the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, and then when we merged with the Department of Commerce, the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. Most of my background has been with local government assistance and community planning, primarily in rural Alaska. When the departments merged, I took on more responsibility than with programs that involved economic development, and eventually as director of the former Division of Community Advocacy, and which is now Division of Community and Regional Affairs, and then as the deputy commissioner, I have the assignment of various boards, as you can see, some of which are more active than others, as well as looking at the economic development end and rural issues continuing to be a major piece of my responsibility. I'd like to point out to the committee, I'm sure you're very well aware from the commissioner's statements, that this broad responsibility is both a blessing in that we have, for those that are, and our staff is very interested and engaged and energetic, so you have an opportunity to deal with many, many issues. Of course, the downside of that is you have to spend a great deal of time to try to even understand one of those issues, and so it does put us in a situation where we're oftentimes firemen running from one crisis in some cases to another. We have, but with that broad responsibility, you do attract people who are interested and who are engaged, and so I'm very proud of the people represented behind me. Some of the highlights of what we do, and I think I'd just like to go through some of those for your benefit. Obviously, I think the one issue that on everybody's mind is energy. The department has a key role. Of course, our association with ADA and AEA, who has primary responsibility in many of the energy issues, but the department itself has some role as well in rural energy issues. Primarily our loan programs through the Bulk Fuel Bridge Loan Program, which is for those, as the commissioner said, those credit-challenged organizations, utilities, and communities. The advantage of that being in the department, that bridge loan program is married up with our assistance to local governments through the Division of Community and Regional Affairs. So we have a broad way of addressing the problem of fuel issues, and we work with the management, which is often part of the problem. It's not just financing. It's ordering fuel, making sure their deliveries are in time, so forth and so on. So it's a good marriage to have our local government assistance people working with the loan program, which is administered through the Division of Investments, and working with the communities on their energy needs. And it gives us a broad view of the problem, which it's not a simple issue in many cases. We also work, and of course, the efforts of the AEA in developing an energy plan, and then, of course, the Renewable Energy Fund, those are all very, very encouraging opportunities. And certainly, we're looking forward to allowing our communities to get off of this roller coaster that's represented by whatever the price of a barrel of oil may be. And the whole state, of course, has to ride that roller coaster. But in rural Alaska, where you can only take delivery of fuel every so often, economically at least, it puts them in a particularly vulnerable position. So we work with communities through their economic issues, and Monick is only one example of that. There have been, over my 28 years, many communities and regions that have suffered economic downturns or unfortunate circumstances that where the Division of Community Regional Affairs and the other divisions have been called in to try to assist those communities. It could be a variety of issues. And so we are sort of the frontline defense, if you will, in making sure that the communities of Alaska remain viable, that they are able to endure some unfortunate circumstances, both from the standpoint of their management as well as their fabric of their economy and ability to provide services. I have been asked, and I've been involved with the recently created, and the commissioners involved directly in the recently created rural sub-cabinet, which has been just ordered through the governor's administrative order. We form, the Department of Commerce forms along with the Department of Public Safety and Military and Veterans Affairs, Health and Social Services, Department of Labor, and the Attorney General's Office, a group which responsibilities are to bring issues that are affecting rural Alaska and examine those issues and make recommendations to the governor and ultimately even to the legislature. That has been looking at the issue of migration, which is one of the hot topic issues, if you will. And we are currently working with First Alaskans and the University of Alaska and other interested organizations in trying to bring as much facts and statistics as we can to the issue and trying to look at its root cause. I expect that we will have a formal report out very soon, possibly as soon as 30 days from now, and we will be reporting back to the subcabinet, of course, anyone else who may be interested in that issue, and trying to address how we can, we think we can deal with any of the downsides of that phenomena. We're also involved with the climate change issue. As you know, that there is a formed a rural, or actually a subcabinet on climate change issues, and there's a major planning process in progress right now organized through the Department of Environmental Conservation, and we're participating in that. Many organizations from throughout the state, both research organizations as well as the federal agencies as well, the Denali Commission and others are involved in this. We're developing a strategy for the state of Alaska. So that is one thing that we are involved in, and I myself are serving as co-chair of what's called the Immediate Action Work Group, which is looking at the most critical needs and actions that need to be taken by the state of Alaska in the next 12 to 18 months. A lot of that involves communities that are threatened by erosion or flooding or melting permafrost. And so you'll become aware of some of those reports as the session goes on, and we'll make those available. And of course, the larger strategy, as I say, Commissioner Hartig will be responsible for the leadership there. So he will be reporting to you, I'm sure, on that as well. We work very much with all the various industries and the economic development issues. You will, through our Office of Economic Development, see us reporting to you on the state of those industries as well as what's in 2007 and 2008, what was the history of those industries and how well they've done, and what their future looks like. So that's something that we've we certainly will get involved in. Revenue sharing, as you mentioned, a very important part of our department's assistance to local governments. And revenue sharing has many components. The one individual's name you'll hear repeatedly when you're talking about revenue sharing is Bill Rolfson. He's here in the room, by the way, and he is, if your interest lies in all the money that we as a state of Alaska make available to communities, but also money that comes through our department from the federal government, such as federal forest receipts and so forth. He is the individual who takes care of a great deal of that. Grants to the communities. There is currently about $900 million administered by the department, many of those grants are in fact appropriations from this body, from the legislative body. Some of the hot topics that I think, I mentioned some of them, I think certainly, and I don't think it's going to change in the anytime soon, is that the hot topic is energy, cost of living, sustainability of communities. Certainly the climate change issues and how they affect communities and individuals and industry as well. And those, of course, are international issues, not just state of Alaska. Another thing that will be of interest to the department will be the opportunities of that climate change might represent from the standpoint of economics, transportation, Northwest Passage issues, that sort of thing. I know that we have the federal government is very interested in Arctic issues, of which Alaska certainly is their stake in the Arctic, if you will. The federal agencies have expressed a concern as well as interest as to what the state of Alaska is going to do or how they can participate in the federal interests in that resources as well as transportation infrastructure. The Coast Guard points out to us, for example, that there is no safe ports currently in Alaska for large vessels coming through the Northwest Passage. So that will be of interest to the federal government, I believe, and may be part of the stimulus package that we can certainly marry up our interests with the federal government's interest on that. That's an overview, and I'd certainly take any questions.
Great. Thank you very much. Are there questions of the committee? Representative Herron.
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner. I appreciate you being here, and I'm glad you're efficient. So I guess maybe a couple of quick questions, but, you know, obviously we have four people on this committee from South Central. Former Speaker, Speaker Harris, he was from Valdez, the co-chair from around here, and I'm myself in the lower Kuskokwim, all impacted by energy. And we look forward to the director of the Energy Authority to come back to us at a later date. But I think both myself and the co-chair, we've decided to defer a presentation by him until after Chairman Millett's committee hears him. But obviously, we're definitely interested in that. So we look forward to that. I guess maybe briefly, could you tell me what is your department doing to assist in this dialogue about the railroad in Flint Hills?
Mr. Chairman, we have certainly been involved with the discussions through the community of North Pole and through the Fairbanks North Star Borough. We have not been involved so much in the dialogue regarding the Flint Hills refinery per se as DNR has. However, we have pointed out the economic importance of that refinery and its relationship to fuel supplies, especially in Western Alaska. And we've also brought to the attention of the administration that there's concerns by the municipality of North Pole on the relationship of the refinery to the wastewater treatment facilities that North Pole operates. Without those wastewater treatment facilities being upgraded, the refinery itself may be at risk of not meeting in our environmental standards. So there are issues that are not always on the surface that, that might risk, put at risk our ability to continue or the company's ability to continue to operate that refinery. So that's something else. But the primary discussion has been through Department of Natural Resources and the administration's governor's office.
Thank you. One follow-up question, and it's not a tiny question either, but I guess you touched on it in your opening statement. So what is your opinion? Should we go back to separate departments, Commerce, CNRA?
Mr. Chairman, as an old DCRAer, that's a question that I often think about. I will reflect on my experience with DCRA. DCRA was a focused department on rural issues. There's no doubt that focus was the main mission of that department. We were quite a broad array of programs dealing with everything from labor issues to housing to energy to local government assistance, and it was an entire package of the array of issues. I will reflect that we were the weakest and probably the most difficult department to get resources to, and as such we were almost as a babe in the wilderness, if you will, always crying for some more assistance, more resources, but what we represented to rural Alaska was a one-stop shop in many ways, and that's not as easy to do today, because those programs, when the department was merged, those programs were moved to various departments, and they no doubt were blended with the programs of the other departments. We found it easier to certainly get our budget requests passed through this legislature as a Department of Commerce, not the Department of Community and Regional Affairs. And that reflected, in my mind, the Department of Commerce brings with it a broader array of interests in all sectors of the state, whereas the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, we were looked at, as rightfully we should have been, as the rural department. Now, that's a frank assessment, and that's based on my own personal experience with the department.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Cisna.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Deputy Commissioner, my ears really perked up to your last comment about your working on the global climate change, and I think you were saying you are working also with the university, and the fact that this is the polar state. This is the one this is the only state that really has a chair at the very place where huge change is going to happen. I'm wondering if you have been looking at much more aggressive efforts to include the university in putting this state very much at the lead with research, with really taking charge of that research, which I do not believe we have on many areas that have to do with global polar issues. Have you?
Representative Cisna, through the chair, the efforts that are being organized under the leadership of DEC on the climate change strategy for the state of Alaska has certainly got major involvement. It has major involvement of the University of Alaska, various departments. we're not relying in solely on the University of Alaska, of course, because there's many other universities here in this state actively involved in looking at Arctic issues. And however, I believe that this effort in developing a strategy for the state has elevated, at least in many people's minds, elevated the understanding and awareness that the University of Alaska Fairbanks is actively involved in much of the research that we will rely upon. And even other research organizations within the state, not just the university. For example, the Cold Climate Housing Research Center has very much been engaged in the discussion on how we deal with permafrost melting, some of these other issues, and energy efficiency as well. I do believe the university has a grand opportunity as we go forward, because we are the point of the spear in Arctic issues. And the state of Alaska, if we do develop the capacity to be the leader and to be the convener of the best research that we can for the United States in the Arctic issues, it certainly puts the university in the middle of a very nice spotlight.
Thank you. Before we go to additional questions, Lori Hovenak from Bank Securities is online. Lori, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to ask a question or provide an answer to any questions that you've heard?
No, I don't. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us. And Roger Prince is online.
Yes, I am.
Hello, Roger. Would you like to state a question or provide information on any questions that you've heard?
No, but I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you for joining us.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Gardner.
Thank you. I have a couple of very simple questions. I see that you have an outline for your talk here today, and I understand that oftentimes our outlines are really informal, but if we could get a copy of it, it would be very helpful to me. It just sort of helps me organize my thinking about where it is you are and what you're doing. My real question is, are you based in Juneau? And if not, how long are you here?
Representative Gardner, through the chair. No, actually, I live in your district. So.
Yeah, well, you know how it is.
I am not based in Juneau, and I am down here the majority of the session.
Okay, and I ask that only because I'd like to meet with you, and I just want to know, okay, do I have to do it today, or do we have some time here?
You can come right around to my house.
Yeah. Neighbor.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Great. Representative Keller, would you like? No. Representative Herron?
One final comment, and of course, when the canary is singing in the coal mine, the canary is alive. It's only when the canary is dead that's when they realize we got a, you know, there's a serious problem. So appreciate your Deputy Commissioner, I appreciate your frankness and your comments, and Commissioner Noddy, appreciate what you shared with us, and I look forward to working with everyone in the room on all these issues, but more importantly, please work with this committee. There's some real talent here, and we had a lot of things to do, and look forward to it.
Thank you very much. And before you leave, I know it may be a bit unconventional, but would you mind introducing your staff from the department that are here? I am new, and I would really appreciate being able to put names with faces.
Well, that would be a challenge. I can ask them to introduce themselves. Amanda Ryder, our Director of Division of Administrative Services. Tyson Vick from our Legislative Liaison. Ray. Okay, now you can start introducing yourselves.
Mark Ted Leonard, Executive Director of ADA.
Greg Winninger, Director of the Division of Investments.
Lynn Smith, Director of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing.
Thank you.
Scott Ruby, Deputy Director for Community and Regional Affairs.
Bill Ralston, Employee of DCR.
Kevin O'Sullivan, I'm a Development Specialist with the Office of Economic Development.
Casey Campbell, Economist with the Office of Economic Development.
Steve Higginson, Executive Director of Alaska Energy Authority.
Isaac Fry from ADA.
I have no stretch time to ask me a finance officer.
Great.
You see where a challenge I would have had if I had to try.
Well, thank you all very much for being here, and thank you for introducing yourselves. And thank you, Deputy Commissioner, for the presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Before conclusion, do you all have any final questions? Does anyone have final questions? No. Thank you very
much. Not for the department.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, I'd like to maybe have a very brief discussion with the committee members about next week, and myself and Madam Chair, we'd like to get together with you next week, talk about just the setup. But we've invited the Executive Director Kathy Wasserman to come in on Tuesday, and it'll be in the announcements. As you know, Alaska Municipal League will be flying in next week, and we'd like her to give us an overview, preview of what they're going to be doing. I think they meet on Thursday and Friday. And then maybe next week, maybe at the second meeting, we could set aside a little bit of time and talk about some of the expectations about with the committee. Similar to what myself and Chairman Keller did in the HES committee. So I'd look forward to visiting with you on that next week.
And do bring forward questions so that we can get those questions to the commissioner and have opportunity to discuss the answers at a future meeting. And then, as Representative Heron said, we all we encourage input and ideas for the direction of this committee. If there are issues that you would like brought forward, please come to either one of us. If there is an organization in your community that you would like to make a presentation to the committee, please come forward. We would be more than happy to provide that forum. And again, thank you all for coming today. It's been very informative. Thank you, Commissioner Naughty and Deputy Commissioner Black. It's a pleasure to have you here today, and really appreciated the presentation very much. Thank you. Is there anything else to come before the committee today? Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you.